Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
We are back with something major, the fourth edition of this new theme we are trying around the Australian Open. Today, we are going to go over the round four results. We are into the quarterfinals on both sides. Today's episode, we're going to specifically talk about the men's side. Again, it's what we know the best. I think as both draws progress into the semifinals, we're going to dive into both sides. And so we're going to preview the quarterfinal matches. I'm John Isner with Jack Sock, Stevie Johnson, Sam Querrey, back with another episode of Something Major. Before we get into the meat and bones, we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, I sent a text to our group chat. That's something that annoys me, and it specifically happens on the men's side. There's an epidemic of players that I noticed, and I sent to the text, and Jack and Sam immediately, I think, agreed with me that after the match ends, if they're wearing a hat or wearing a headband, they take their headband off and they run their hand through their hair right before they shake hands with their opponent. And it happens all the time, and it finally annoyed me. I saw the match point of Tien in the Mute match, and I had to say something. What do you guys think this is about? Sam, before we started recording, has a theory. So Sam, I want you to start on this. What do you think this is all about?
Yeah. So, you know, like you said, take the hat off, run the hand through like the sweaty hair, then go to the high five. It's disgusting. I did a little research last night. Draper's doing it. Fritz is doing it. One of our own podcast members might have done it a few times. Jack Sock, I saw you do it.
What?
Yeah. I looked at the video evidence. It's the guys that kind of got a little like sex appeal, think they're cool, like they run the hands with them, like wiggle it, and then go with the high five. They want to make sure they look good.
I think you're right. Mute, yep. Connie's got this, you know, he's this quirky kind of, he's definitely has some appeal to him.
Yeah. Jack.
He did it, and that's why I sent the text.
Own up. There's video evidence of it, Jack.
I need to see it.
We need to see that. I think, Stevie, you've done it before. I just vaguely remember. I haven't pulled up the video evidence, though.
So. Guarantee you've done it, too.
Uh-uh. No, I've not done that.
No.
Mm-mm. I'm going to look through not all 1,000 of your matches. I'm going to get through the bottom of this.
You go through 987 handshakes.
I feel like, yeah, maybe when Stevie's hair was a little longer, you might have gone through it.
But it was also, as I said in the group chat, I was a big, if I did that, I find the driest part of my clothing that I had on at the time, I'd wipe my hands on that before I'd shake hands. So never forget that part. That's a big piece of it.
True.
I feel like this is one of those like Roger did it or whatever, like,
but he can 30, always do it
30,
no
30 years ago, or like someone did it 30 years ago and then every player thinks that like that's the cool thing to do now afterwards. Like it was like the epidemic of like the medicine ball warm-ups we saw Djokovic do one time, like throwing balls against the wall, and then every player now does it, and like it's just they just copycat.
I think it's only the players that think they're hot and they like kind of wiggle the hair and like run it through it.
Yeah, Draper does it, he goes like this.
Yeah, exactly.
I never thought I was hot, and I'm definitely not hot, so I'm pretty certain I never did it. Sam, you never did it.
No.
Jack, you got some appeal to you, man. Embrace it.
Yeah, but I was never. It was never. It was never an intentional.
It was a bit of a backhanded compliment from Sam.
Yeah, it was never an intentional, like, I finished the match and I'm like, I'm going to, because obviously I always wore a backwards hat and whatever, but I never like was like, oh, this is my routine after the match. I'm going to take the hat off and do the whole, yeah, like, so if I did it, on accident, hand up, I'll take that. It's on me. Okay. Not intentional.
All right. We want to hear what everyone else thinks. So we post this to YouTube. If anyone else has noticed that, please type in and give us your theories. I think we're the only platform to ever bring it up, but enough is enough in my mind. I saw Moutet do it and I couldn't take it anymore. So I'm glad we aired that out here on Something Major. And that's it. We're done with that. We're moving on. I want to mention that after today, there's three more episodes coming out through the Australian Open. On Wednesday, we're going to go over the quarterfinal matches on both sides, and we're going to preview the semifinals. Then on Friday, of course, we'll do the semifinal review, finals preview, and Sunday, we're going to go over the finals reaction on both sides. Also, coming up this week, we have Stan Wawrinka, who joined the pod about 10 days ago from Melbourne. Great interview. He was fantastic. So the team is working on that. So that will be coming out on our regularly scheduled podcast release on every Friday. So anyways, look forward to that. I have a three-time Grand Slam champ, Stan Wawrinka. We broke our code, our sacred code of only having non-Grand Slam winners. But I mean, let's be honest. As soon as someone who'd won a slam said yes, we were going to have them on. And as we mentioned, yeah, Sam was, persistent enough. And Stan mentioned he saw something on Instagram and he finally came on. So we got him on. He was a great interview. So we appreciate that, Stan. So again, if you want to drop a question about this episode, drop it in the comments on YouTube and we will go over that. We look forward to hearing from you guys. Okay, everyone, let's talk. First and foremost, let's talk Novak Djokovic. I want to talk about his match. My prediction was going to be the match of the tournament. I thought Lehecka was going to give him a tougher test. Wasn't the case. It was three close sets, a tiebreaker in the third. Wasn't meant to be. How do you guys, Stevie, let's start with you. Did you see any of that match, see the highlights? What do you think of Djokovic so far in this tournament?
Yeah, I think Novak is playing fantastic. And I think it is a tough task for the rest of the tournament that he now has some type of outside source of motivation, anger, something to kind of sink his teeth into to get his competitive juices to the next level. I think, like many other athletes, I think it's potentially hard for him to see Roger, Rafa, Murray, these guys retire, his rivals, and then not have that motivation to see those guys across the net. So any type of outside, whatever it is, motivation factors, whatever it may be, he has that. And now he is a very dangerous player because I think he is going to be super locked in because of this controversy. And I think maybe Sam can kind of touch on it a little bit more. But it was, one of the reporters down there made probably a silly joke that just didn't land. And it didn't hit, and he probably should have kind of apologized sooner, but here we are. But Novak with a bit more motivation is a tough out, and I am worried for Carlos in the quarters and our bet and the snake draft. So that being said, I don't need him to have more motivation, but it's great for the sport of tennis.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know what happened, like Tony Jones was outside reporting on the tournament. Behind him, there was 1,000 Serbian fans cheering for Novak. And he kind of turned back and as they were cheering, said, oh, Novak's overrated. Novak's not going to win. Like, get out of here kind of thing. And Novak took a lot of offense to that. As you guys saw, he didn't do his on-court interview. He just kind of grabbed the microphone from Jim Courier, addressed the crowd. He then stayed on the court and signed autographs for everyone, kind of letting everyone know. It wasn't the crowd. It wasn't Courier. It was specifically Channel 9, which airs the Australian Open, and this guy, Tony Jones. The whole thing was probably blown a little out of proportion. I think Tony Jones was just made a bad joke, but Novak can be sensitive, especially he's passionate towards his home country of Serbia, and it just rubbed him the wrong way. And I feel like maybe Tony Jones could have apologized a little quicker, but look, as a guy in the snake draft who has Novak, I think Novak's going to win the tournament. I think this little bit of extra motivation could help him. How he plays when he's got a little chip on his shoulder. So I like this for him. He just went out because this happened before the Laheka match. He went out there and chopped up Laheka in straight sets. So he is playing well. He's confident. And I think Tony Jones and Channel 9 apologized this morning. Novak acknowledged it. So everyone's moving on.
Can I just add one thing? I mean, the one thing that Tony Jones said that I thought was the craziest was when he said he was overrated.
Crazy.
I mean, you can make any joke or any statement you want, but overrated might be the biggest lie. This whole thing, he's won that tournament 10 times. He got 24 slams. Like, we all know his records. I think overrated, when you ever speak about Novak's tennis career, might be the craziest statement you could actually make.
I just want to add, I think Sam and I were very right on, you guys thought this was going to be blockbuster showdown. I think Sam and I added in last episode, this might be a more routine match than we thought. So just a little pat on the back for us.
I was wrong. I was wrong. I said like a tough 4-set, 5-set match, digging into the actual match against Lehechka. But no one's talking about like how good Novak looked in that match because of this Tony Jones controversy. That's how they say it in Australia.
On Channel 9, mate.
No one's talking about it. But if you dig in that, Djokovic looked really, really good. He was doing the Hulk Hogan to the crowd. Obviously, he always has people that are jeering him and booing him. He's giving him the Hulk Hogan after the big points he wins. He looks confident. Like, this is why, and we talked about this a couple episodes ago, like why he brought Murray on. That gives him that extra motivation to beat and or try to beat and compete against, specifically, I think, Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner. And now, as we know, which everyone was hoping for this matchup, it's come to fruition. It's Djokovic versus Alcaraz. Let's talk about Alcaraz's match against Draper. I think we all thought that this would be pretty comprehensive on Alcaraz's side. Draper was not able to finish the match. Not that it would have mattered if he was fully healthy, but Alcaraz ran through him in 2 sets. Draper didn't even start the third, I don't believe. But the matchup that we all wanted is happening in the quarterfinals, Alcaraz versus Djokovic. Let's talk about that matchup specifically. Sam, go with you. What do you think? I guess give us your predictions on this one. I mean, we actually know who you're going to predict because you chose Djokovic at the beginning. But have you changed your tune on that by any chance?
I haven't changed my tune, but I'm a little worried. Alcaraz beat Draper 7-5, 6-1 retire. But Alcaraz served for the first set, got broken, kind of got a little dicey, had to break back for 7-5. Second set, obviously, Draper was hurt. It seems like Novak is starting to get a little better as the tournament has been going on. And Alcaraz has just looked really good the whole time. It's not like his game is dropping, but it's just the blockbuster. Everyone is going to be locked into that match. It's the quarterfinal of the century. Not the century, but just the biggest quarterfinal we've had in a long time. And it's just a blockbuster that I think Novak, with that little extra motivation, is going to find a way to get through Alcaraz.
It's a bit of a bummer because Carlos and Jack Draper would have been, I think, a great match. But this is what we see in these slams. It's a war of attrition. Draper having to tough out 5 setters in the first few rounds, spending 12 plus hours on court, you know, compared to some of the other guys, is 6-7 hours. This is what comes into play. And this is how these guys, this is how you win slams. You know, early in the tournament, you get through it. You just, you know, put your ducks in a row and you get through rounds 1, 2, 3, 4, save your energy. And now you can basically go, it's full go Carlos Novak quarterfinal. And that is going to be a fantastic match. I am rooting for that one to go very long so I can wake up early in the morning and kind of catch the last set or two here on the West Coast. So if they could kind of help me out, do me a favor and play like a 5 or 6 hour match, that would be great because I would love to wake up to it, you know, 4 in the morning here on the West Coast or whatever and kind of watch the end of it. So that's my hope. But I think that is going to be a fantastic match with two guys that have a lot on the line. Novak kind of still wants to prove that he is the best in the world. And Carlos is still going for, you know, the career Grand Slam at age 21. So there's a lot on the line for these guys to kind of keep putting their best foot forward here.
It is only their 8th meeting. I mean, I know Alcaraz hasn't been on the tour that long. It seems like they've played more than 7 times, but they haven't. Djokovic leads the head-to-head 4-3. Alcaraz has never beaten him on a hard court. Ever. They had that classic match in Cincinnati, 7-6 in the third, but hasn't gotten him on a hard court We'll see what happens. This is the match of the tournament on either side. Men's, women's, you name it. This is the match of the tournament. Everyone's looking forward to this one. I think on that side of the draw, the other quarterfinal matchup is very tasty as well. You have Zverev, who beat Humbert in four sets, like 6-2 or 6-3 in the fourth, versus Tommy Paul, you know, who won very, very comprehensively 6-1, 6-1, 6-1 over Davidovich Fokina. Let's talk about that quarterfinal matchup. Both players haven't been on the court that long. Tommy Paul is looking really, really strong. He's had a pretty good draw to this point. So I personally think Tommy's got a very, very good chance of winning this match. Jack, I want to hear from you about this Tommy Paul, Sasha Zverev quarterfinal matchup.
Yeah, my two remaining guys. So this is exciting. Pretty ideal situation for me, I guess. Guaranteeing a guy into the semis. I definitely feel like I'm a bit surprised that I'm not surprised Tommy beat Davidovich, but 1-1-1 is I mean, that's a chopping.
Yeah.
Which I don't think any of us really saw coming, because I think Davidovich Fokina obviously is a very, very good tennis player. And but Tommy, yeah, I think you play like that in round four, and then you're going into a match against Zverev. I think he's going to have all the confidence in the world. I think that's going to be very dangerous for Sasha, and exciting for Tommy. And I think we'll touch on just Jannik Sinner in general and his match coming up. But I think between Novak, Alcaraz, Tommy, Sasha, these guys remaining, I think it's a little bit of like, you know, smell some blood in the water type thing. Cause Jannik Sinner, I don't know if you guys caught that after the match, he said that he didn't even warm up for his match yesterday. He's not feeling the best or something. So there's definitely something going on there. Definitely looked like he was struggling at times in his match as well. So yeah, I think everyone kind of maybe taste a little bit of, we have a chance. Obviously if Jannik is firing on all cylinders and fully healthy, he's always going to be probably the toughest out. So yeah, I think that, yeah, Tommy, Sasha is going to be as blockbustery as Alcaraz, Djokovic for me.
You think Tommy and Sasha, they've been cruising so far. Alcaraz, Djokovic, pretty much cruising. Going back to like Draper, he had to retire. He spent so much time on court. Zverev and Paul have been cruising. Do you think in a slam for men, if you battle in five sets, like the first three matches like Draper did, do you essentially have no chance to win the tournament? Do you have to be a guy like Zverev or Paul or Alcaraz or Novak or Sinner, who's kind of like, you have to basically cruise through your first three, four rounds. Maybe you can be tested one time, but I feel like if you don't do that, you don't have a chance to win a men's slam. You can't win 3-5 setters in a row early on in tournament and win a major.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. You have to get through the first week kind of unscathed. I mean, you look at Davidovich Fokina against Tommy. I mean, he came back from two sets to love twice in the second and third round to get to play Tommy. So you just emotionally, mentally, physically, you just fatigue. And the mental toll it takes to go out there and win a best of five match is hard enough, let alone day after day after day. I think that would be a very interesting stat to look up if guys have done that. But off the top of my head, in the last 15, 20 years, I don't ever remember somebody battling through week one with a bunch of five setters and then hoisting a trophy at the end. Luckily for us, it's not that hard of research because three guys basically won slams every week and they rolled through everybody in week one. So, but Tommy, if you're Tommy though, that is a very fun match, good match for him, just because you get to play, you know, in the quarters now, you just played really good tennis, almost 90 minutes spent on court. Basically he'll have kind of a couple full days off before he gets to kind of light up Zverev that match in the quarter. So if you're Tommy, you were excited to see that for sure.
I think Sasha's the favorite. I don't think he's a massive favorite. I give Tommy Paul like a 40% chance to win this match. You can't ask for anything more. You know, you have four guys who haven't spent much time on the court, fully ready to go to try to, you know, to battle to get to the semifinals. Absolutely perfect. Let's go to the top half of the draw. Jack touched on it a little bit with Sinner. He played last night, I'm a little hazy on the time change, against Runa, won in four sets. He was having some physical issues, took a medical timeout, came back, won the third and fourth sets. When I woke up, I saw he won the third and fourth sets pretty easily. So obviously he's going to have a day off now. I think he probably, you know he's got a great team behind him. He should be ready to go, and he's going to go up against Alex De Minaur, who I haven't seen the highlights yet. I read just played super well against Mickelson. Obviously has the home crowd on his side. That's another huge quarterfinal matchup. One that I think a lot of people expected to happen. It's 1 versus 8. It's been kind of chalk. So let's preview this center. De Minaur quarterfinals. Does Alex have any shot? He's never beaten him before. I did hear that said. He's like 0-8 lifetime.
9-0 lifetime.
0-9. See, 0-9 lifetime against center. But of course, he's going to have the crowd on his side. Center maybe might have some questions with his fitness or his physical issues out there. So do we give De Minaur any shot in this quarterfinal matchup? Sam, I'd like to hear from you on this one.
Assuming center is healthy, I hate to say this, no. I want De Minaur to, like, he's going to have the crowd behind him. I hope it's a match. I hope he can pull off an upset. But what does he do better than center? Like, I feel like center does everything a little better than Alex. He's 0-9. It's just such an uphill battle for Alex. The crowd's got to just come out in full force and, like, will him to a win if it happens. But, again, assuming center is healthy, I just don't think there's – I don't think there's a chance for anyone in the top half. Just if he's healthy, just pencil center into the finals. Pen him into the finals.
Did you guys see, by the way, like what the crazy net thing that like basically helped center almost like get back into the match? But like Medvedev like destroyed the net in his match. And then last night when center, it literally looked like center was like about to just go on the decline. He hit a serve or something. And then the net just started going like up and down crazy. There's like 15, 20 minute break. And then he had the medical timeout, another like 15 or whatever minutes he got to go inside. So you got like two different basically intermissions in the match. And like, so it seemed like he just fully recovered and then was able to win after, which was kind of wild. But I do think he's struggling with something. I think when you're number one in the world and you don't warm up for the match before you play, there's obviously something going on. I think we're going to get De Minaur's best tennis. He's going to have the crowd's going to be crazy for him. I actually think he has a chance of winning that match based on the set of circumstances going on right now, it seems like. So I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if Demon won that or it was very close.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really fun match. If you are, you know, Sam has this experience, John has this experience being kind of in the last few matches at a home slam has to be an incredible feeling knowing that, especially in Australia, that the crowd is going to be bananas behind him. I mean, they are a fun crowd, energetic, and they love their home player. So I think it's going to be, he has to really feed off of the crowd. And Alex is somebody that can raise his level tremendously in those scenarios because, I mean, I've played him a bunch. You guys have all played him. He can kind of go sideways tennis-wise, a little less now as he's obviously gotten better. But, you know, when he gets on a run and he gets his kind of footing into a match, he is a tough, tough out. And he uses the crowd, whether it be, you know, just his box when he's, you know, playing in another country or whatnot. But he is somebody that can use the crowd to the end of, you know, and he can stay out there for 6, 7, 8 hours. I mean, he is so fit. So I'm excited to see that one. I do think he has a chance, especially if Yannick is feeling something physically, fatigue or, you know, whatever it may be.
De Minaur is like the worst matchup if you're not feeling well or something like
that. That's not a good matchup.
No, I think this spells big time trouble for De Minaur because Sinner was in trouble. But I now remember before I went to bed, he was in the third set against Rune and they had that crazy point. He saved a break point, which is probably the point of the tournament so far. I kind of fell asleep after that and he absolutely cruised from that point forward. So I think you guys know anytime you've been at a tournament and you get sick or you eat something bad, we don't know what happened exactly with Sinner, but you're able to somehow get through a match when you're not physically feeling your best. Like that spells really good news for you going forward in the next round. Obviously, especially if you have a day off to get yourself fully fit and ready. Cause Yannick, I mean, it was looking pretty dicey there. I mean, Rune was all over him after winning the second set, had the momentum, had those early break points in the third, wasn't able to capitalize on that. Yannick got through it. I think he's going to, you know, breathe a big sigh of relief and play his best tennis in the quarterfinals, not going out on the limb. But I think Sinner's going to improve to 10-0 against Diemenauer. Let's see, though. Jack says Alex has a shot. I don't think he does. Neither does Sam. Stevie, you have one more thing to add. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so for Alex, really impressive stat here. He is 17-0 in the Australian Open against players ranked below him, which is truly remarkable. He goes out there and takes care of business in his home country, which is not an easy thing to do sometimes.
But he's lost the last seven matches on hard courts to guys ranked ahead of him. So he does exactly, if you're just like a numbers guy, he does exactly what he's supposed to do every time he's on a hard court.
He's like the, you know, Nicolas Almagro of like 15 years ago.
Yeah. So if you're a numbers guy, you don't like those stats because history repeats itself, it's not going to beat the guy ranked ahead of him on a hard court.
He's got to slay the dragon. It's like the Buffalo Bills got a chance to go in, you know, and beat the Kansas City Chiefs and try to take them out. I don't know, Jack doesn't like that, but that's what Diemenauer has a chance to do. He's got to try to reverse this 0-9 head-to-head record.
I'll say that if he wins, you've got Shelton Sonego. Like, it's not every day you play Shelton Sonego in a semifinal of a slam. So there is...
Both those guys are ranked below him, Sam.
Yeah, good point. There's a nice carrot on the other side of a Sinner win if he can pull it off.
Yep, that's a great point, Sam, and a perfect segue for that last quarter of the draw. It was... You know, if all the top seeds progressed, it was supposed to be Fritz versus Medvedev in that section. It has turned out to be Shelton versus Lorenzo Sonego. Sonego beat Tien in four sets. And Shelton, Stevie, give you a little bit of credit on this.
Thank you.
Took out Gael Monfils.
All over it, Stevie.
Three tiebreakers, 1-0 retired. Let's actually bring up the exact quote from Stevie, when we were previewing the Monfils-Shelton round of 16 match, Stevie says, if Gael gets to the end of his road physically, it's over. I just don't know when he will run out of gas.
Well, he ran out of gas.
We don't know exactly what it was. 1-0 in the fourth, down a break against Shelton, and he pulled the plug on the match. Stevie, kudos to you.
Thank you.
It was three obviously really, really tight sets. What do y'all think about, I guess, this quarterfinal matchup, Shelton versus Sonego? Both are playing great. Who do we like in this match? Stevie, let's hear from you.
It's a good part of the draw. You know, we always get one of these sections usually at a slam where it's like, oh, how do these kind of this quarter get there? Or these two guys kind of had upsets to get to this point. So, but, you know, Ben he's an animal. I mean, the guy is an animal. And he said after the match that when you play 3 out of 5, it's a physical and mental test. A lot of it comes down to toughness. And I always back myself competitively in these kinds of moments. And he is 100% right. The kid is an athlete and a physical freak in the best possible way. He doesn't get tired. He's going to go out there and compete. And he just, you know, I don't know what his game plan or what the pep talk was before the match. But if I was, you know, his dad and his team, it was going to be, you know, tough him out till the last point, because as we know, he has 30 plus retirements on tour. So at some point it was likely that it could happen, especially after the matches he's had. So excited for Ben, and now he gets to play Lorenzo Sonego. So it's going to be an interesting quarterfinal there to see who gets through that one.
Who do you like in that one?
That's an interesting one because I would like Ben probably 8 times out of 10, but being the favorite is not a normal position for him to be in a quarterfinal of a slam. So that is going to be a tricky thing to kind of wrestle with mentally. But if he can get over that fact and not even worry about that fact, you know, I take him 8 out of 10 times, and I think he gets it done. I think he might start a little slow. Maybe there's some nerves, but I think Ben gets that one done.
Yeah, I don't think it's like even a tricky one. I think Ben gets it done. I think Ben's got that mental edge. He's like got cockiness. He's laying his head on his pillow tonight going like, I'm playing Sonego in the quarterfinals. There's zero chance I lose to Sonego. There's zero chance. He's too good of a competitor. He's going to will himself to a match win. He will refuse to lose to Sonego in a quartererfinals. I don't care what I don't have a score prediction, but I have a prediction that Shelton is just winning that every single time.
I couldn't agree more with that, to be honest. I think this is one-way traffic for Mr. Shelton, especially after they – do you guys know Sonego's like a – he's like a – produces music or like makes music? Nobody commented on that, by the way. And after I saw that, I just can't even like – so this is Shelton one-way traffic. I can't even want to pick him. Nothing. I listened to the song for like 14 seconds and
he's singing the songs.
What song? He's singing the songs.
He starts all of his tracks that I realize he's like produced. It's on Spotify now. If he starts them, he goes, he calls himself Sonny the King and at the beginning of every song.
Are they Italian songs?
Sonny the King.
Oh, I like that.
Sonny he's like the
DJ,
King.
He's like DJ like Khaled.
Are you subscribed?
This is Sonny the King.
It's not him singing. He's just producing.
No, he's singing.
He's singing?
Yes, dude, he's singing. It's Lorenzo Sonego and Alter Ego. And they have over – this one song has 1.5 million hits on Spotify.
Wow. That's insane. That's cool.
Dude, we got to get him on the pod to drop like a new track.
I like that. I like that. All right, who do we think is better? Do we think Jack? You've listened to both Lorenzo or the Bryan Brothers Band?
Shapovalov also.
Oh, Shapovalov's in there too.
Rank them 1, 2, 3 in terms of your favorite musicians.
Mutet's in there. It's a lot of musicians on the tour.
We go with none of them actually. no. Anyways, back to the tennis side of it. It's Shelton one way traffic. Sonny the King is gonna get conquered.
Sonny the King, I love that.
So good. No, I like Shelton too. He actually he's the younger player, but he's the more experienced player in terms of getting deep in slams. He's made the quarterfinals of Australia before. He's made the semifinals of the U.S. Open, and he's back in the quarterfinals of Australia. You're looking at me like you don't remember that, Sam.
No, I remember. I don't know why. Okay. I was sorry. That's how I think. I was thinking of all the times that Shelton like has played big matches. And I was
he's
like,
played a lot.
In my own
the
head.
Guy performs in slams. And I think, Sam, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, he's supremely confident going into this match. He wants a taste of a semifinals at the Australian Open. And I think we all think he's going to get there. Big moment. There are two Americans left in the final eight. Tommy Paul, Ben Shelton. So we're going to be cheering both of them on. They got some big matches coming up. So we're going over the snake draft standings. Jack with a truly like almost an insurmountable lead. He's safe. I'm also safe. We're not, this is not, what we did here is not one winner. There are three winners and there's only one loser. And that loser is going to come between Stevie and Sam. Sam picked Djokovic to win the tournament. Stevie picked Alcaraz to win the tournament. They're playing each other in the quarterfinals. So this match is big. If Alcaraz wins, obviously, Stevie, you're safe. Sam, you lose. If Djokovic wins and loses in the semifinals, then you guys tie. And I think we just established that the tiebreaker for the punishment is going to be you guys playing each other in singles pickleball, in which Steve thinks he can beat Sam, and Sam is 100% certain that he cannot beat Sam in singles pickleball. So we'll see what happens.
He had me stacking in this pickleball thing because he couldn't push off his left leg. I was like, come on, man.
Dude, I would beat you in singles right now. I'm 100% confident I beat Stevie in singles pickleball right now.
How much you want to bet on that?
I bet you $1,000 I beat you in singles pickleball this very second.
Oh,
no way.
Let's do it, dude.
Let's do it.
You literally can't run left.
I can run wherever.
No, you cannot. I've seen it.
You can't hit the ball left. You're that bad that you can't even like direct it around the court. You guys don't understand how bad this guy is.
It's my Jula paddle.
Set this up.
Guys, we've just set up a Stevie versus Sam singles pickleball.
Let's do this. If we tie in this, we'll go singles pickleball for the loser. You're done.
There it is. That's perfect.
We'll film it next Monday, the 27th.
Yes.
10 cocktails deep.
I'm flying in wherever this is happening. I'm coming.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what shakes out. This is a big one. The biggest match of the tournament, we know. Djokovic versus Alcaraz in the quarterfinals. It's also the biggest match for something major as well, as there are huge implications riding on this match for Stevie and Sam.
We'll record the entire match and upload it to the channel if it gets there.
I'm so excited for the potential of this. Wow.
I'm going to be tuned in. We could do like a YouTube live as well. We'll do the whole thing. Sam, what do you do for your in all seriousness, like warm up now for the Achilles? Like, what's the protocol?
I get on my toes and just like kind of boost myself up a bunch of times, and I stretch it out, and then I run around a little, just like a normal little dynamic warm up, and just hope for the best.
All right, now I'm rooting for Djokovic.
I know, same.
I'm rooting for Djokovic to lose in the semifinals so we can see this happen. Because Stevie has a 1-point lead on you right now. I was way off with my numbers. Stevie's got a 1-point lead. So, Sam, you obviously have to have this match. And then Stevie would need Djokovic to lose to have a tie. So we'll see what happens. That's it for the fourth edition of Something Major. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to Sam, Stevie, and Jack. Thanks to Charlie and his team at Sif Creative for helping us out editing all these and putting them up on YouTube. They've been a very big success. So again, leave some comments on YouTube if you like what we're doing. And it also leave some questions for us that we can answer on the fifth edition coming up in a few days of Something Major. Thanks a lot, guys. All right, here we go. This is good. We have a multiple choice, which is what we like. It makes it a little easier. At least gives one of us a 25% chance of getting it right. So the question is, Yannick Sinner has now the highest win percentage at an ATP level while ranked ATP number one since the rankings were first published in 1973. That's crazy impressive.
Yeah.
Who did he surpass? And here are our options. We have four of them. Bjorn Borg, Jimmy Connors, Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic. So who did Sinner surpass in win percentage as an ATP number one?
It has to be one of these guys.
The answer is one of these four, yes.
I feel like Bjorn Borg was good for like 4 years and he was like really good. And so that's my answer.
Okay.
I feel like a Federer, like the amount of time that he was number one, I feel like is also like maybe hurts because he's obviously going to lose matches at some point as well.
I'm going to go Borg as well. Yeah, that's a good thought process there, Jack.
Oh, wait. So Jack went, Sam, you went with Borg?
Stevie and I went Borg. Jack went not Federer.
Yeah, I need an answer. I was confused as to what.
Well, he makes a good point.
No, I'm still thinking. That's why I was going to agree with you guys.
Okay, all right. I'm going Jimmy Connors, by the way.
Yeah, I also want to go with somebody else than you guys. Okay, I'm going to go Novak, which is wrong. But
we need the answer here.
Borg, let's go.
Borg. It was Borg. Good call.
Stevie and I know our Borg facts.
Fed and Novak were like, it was like almost too easy. So like we kind of thought it.
No, Jack nailed it perfect. They were number one for so long that like they, of course they lost a bunch of matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I still ended up picking Novak. So yeah. that's smart.
Jack went through the whole thought process. Very impressive. And then just went against his own grain.
Well, I just wanted to stir the pot a little bit, but
it's pretty impressive.
Stevie Johnson is the next guy on the list.
Okay, here we go. So Borg is at 91.89% and Sinner as an ATP number one is 44-3 at 93.6.
Jeez Louise.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Connors at 89.69. Ridiculous. Ivan Lendl almost 90%. Federer 88.5. Djokovic 87.
It's insane.
Ridiculous.
Let's say you were snag number one, like after a big tournament, you were number one. You were number one for 1 week or 2 weeks and you like didn't lose a match. Would they count that on here? No. You got to be at least.
Nah.
Got to be like 40 matches played or something like that.
If you snag it for 1 week, you have to keep it for longer than that, right? Because if you keep winning, you're going to stay number one.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
that would make a lot of sense.
So it's not like you can just get it 1 week and then lose it without losing, right?
Whoa, that Trojan education is
genius thinking. Stevie's wheels are spinning this morning.
A lot of coffee in the system.
He's coming in ready.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn.
and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.